Hey MW, it's Melissa.
And Stephanie Carcace,
the founders of Millennial Women and the host of Millennial Women Talk. Thank you for tuning into today's episode, the Los Angeles Contributors Roundtable Conversation.
Today's podcast was recorded at WeWork Culver City in Los Angeles, California. In this episode, we have an open and honest discussion with two inspiring millennial women. Co-founder and director of community at We Are Onyx, Shia Rebone, and CMO at Millennial Women, Diana Falcone.
We had the chance to talk about the tough road of finding your passion, getting fired, and how to grow and recover from it all, and always allowing your gut and your instincts to be your guide. Listen to some of our favorite quotes from today's episode.
Our mission is to promote healthy, beautiful images of Black women feeling beautiful, feeling happy, because there are other subscription boxes out there, but we're treated like an afterthought. Our hair, our skin, our everything is different. It's just different.
It's different.
It's not that you should treat it like it's foreign, but that's different. So we need different things that cater to our beauty, and that's really what Onyx is about.
I think what we're doing is amazing because we're getting to highlight and show the vulnerable side of our generation and the challenges that we're working on, but also like celebrating their failures and thriving around it.
And here's our full conversation with the Millennial Women Contributors of Los Angeles.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome to our Los Angeles Contributor Roundtable for Millennial Women Talk. We're so excited that you guys are here. Tell us a little bit about who you are. So tell everybody your name and who you are and a little bit about yourself.
I'm Shia Rebone. I am the co-founder of We Are Onyx, the premier beauty destination for Black women. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Ooh.
Okay. And I'm Diana Falcone. I am a Cuban Latina from Miami. Was born there, but was raised in Miami. Proud University of Florida Gator. Go Gators, 10 Gators out there. And I live in Los Angeles now, and I work for an entertainment company during the day. And I am the proud and really excited to be a part of this journey with both of you ladies, CMO for Millennial Women Inc.
Yes.
So excited to have you, and we're honored that both of you are here with us today. So Shia, tell us a little bit about We Are Onyx. How did you get started in this, and what really drove you to create this?
Absolutely. So I have a really interesting story as far as Onyx is concerned. I was living in Houston in 2000 to 2013, working at a law firm, doing a job I did not like, was not creative, was not exciting, didn't fulfill me at all. I just graduated in 2011 with a degree in broadcast journalism, and I was just, it was really hard to find a job in that market. So that's kind of how I got stuck, so to say, in the law firm position. And I always wanted to live in Los Angeles. I was dreamed of it. I went to school on the East Coast. I'm from the South. So West Coast was just like naturally next on the list.
Right.
So I immediately started to try to plan something to get to the West Coast.
Right.
So it included a lot of prayer, a lot of risk-taking. Mm-hmm. It was a big faith journey for me. So my grandmother was sick. She was dying, and I didn't want to leave her and my family by myself, like by themselves. So once she passed away, I felt that was my okay ticket from her to move. So I quit my job. I moved to LA. The job I had secured was a little shaky. It wasn't really like a true job. It was like something I found on Craigslist.
No.
Yes.
I mean, so you really dove into
it. I just dove right into it.
Wow.
I just wasn't happy.
Right.
I was praying about it, and it was just like, you need to move to LA. Just do it. What are you scared of? Like, you don't have a family. You don't have, like, kids or a husband. There's nothing really holding you in Houston. You know what I mean? The only thing that was holding me was my grandmother. And like I said, once she passed, it was just like, go ahead. Live your life. Be happy. You deserve to be happy. So I moved to LA. I'm sleeping on a friend's couch, trying to figure out how I'm going to do my next step. And a friend of mine is working on a photo shoot for We Are Onyx. Onyx is already established.
Oh, wow.
And I'm working on a photo shoot, and they need someone else to come in and kind of like help facilitate what they're already doing. So my friend's like, my best friend just moved here. She needs a gig. She'd be happy to do it. I meet with Delali, who was a founder at the time, or who's still a founder, but she was the founder of We Are Onyx. We're chatting, and she said, you're hired. And at the time, she hired me as her executive assistant. And back in October, I was invited to become a co-founder.
Wow.
So when I do things like this...
That's amazing.
Absolutely. When I do things like this, I try to encourage women to leave out on faith, find your happy, do it. And then once you secure something, like an executive assistant job, if you've ever been an assistant, you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of commitment. And what Dalali saw in me was I was committed to her company and making it my own and bringing in my resources and really just helping grow the company and treating it like my baby. Right. So for her to extend that invitation to me meant a lot to me because she helped my career. She helped facilitate me into the tech space. And I was bringing in my experience, like I said, from journalism and just social media, just really trying to help her help make this company work because I was behind the mission. Our mission is to promote healthy, beautiful images of Black women feeling beautiful, feeling happy, because there are other subscription boxes out there, but we're treated like an afterthought. Our hair, our skin, our everything is different. It's just different.
It's different.
It's not that you should treat it like it's foreign, but that's different. So we need different things that cater to our beauty. And that's really what Onyx is about.
Why did you want to move to Los Angeles? Like, what was your first sort of, I don't know, was it a dream? Like, is it just because of the place? Or was there a purpose behind it? Or what was that?
Well, I went to HSPVA, which is the High School for Performing and Visual Arts in Houston. And I studied acting. So originally, I wanted to be an actress. So I was like, LA, I always want to move there. I want to do that. When I went to Alpha Howard in DC, I studied journalism, which is kind of incorporating my acting skills on camera, which I was really excited about. And so LA was still kind of in the back of my mind. Like, that's something I eventually want to do. So it's always there.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because, you know, especially when we started this company with millennial women, it's almost like, well, who wants to work for us? Because it's like, you know, you start something and you're like, well, no one ever wants to like be a part of it or something. What drove you to want to be a part of Onyx and be like, I'm passionate about this and I'm willing to give it 100% without even expecting like the co-founder, like you had no idea that was going to be offered to you, you know, and you gave it your all and you got something huge in return. Like, what was that for you? Like, what made you want to be like, I'm going to give it 100%?
Well, I can attribute my parents for my worth ethic. No matter what it is, I just give my all to it anyway. So that's just how I just operate in general. So that was nothing to me to just go in and say, hey, you know, we're going to make this work. But it was those long nights, those long conference calls, those coming in on weekends that really made me feel like, you know what, I'm really passionate about this. This is something that I'm marketing to myself. Black women are a demographic. That's myself. So it's like, this is something important to me. And I kind of watched my mother and my grandmother and how when I told them what I was doing, how excited they were because they didn't have anything like that when they were growing up. They kind of relied on Ebony Magazine and Jet Magazine and BT for those kind of those imageries. But sometimes those are convoluted with different type of messaging. Mm-hmm. If you look at any of the ads from the 1960s, it talks about skin lightening and things like that. That's not celebrating who you truly are.
Exactly.
That's trying to manipulate yourself. And so what we're saying is you're beautiful the way you look. This product works for you. This company may not be targeting to you, but I'm telling you, this product is amazing. It works for your skin. It works for your hair. It works for the makeup preference that you have. So it was a no-brainer for me to be like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm passionate about.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I think this is a wonderful time to also have you speak, Diana, on this because you are CMO of Millennial Women, mm-hmm. and you have shown us so much passion and so much just incredible work ethic. Tell the womanhood a little bit about how you got started and in marketing, branding, and your whole journey in that.
Yeah, super cool to know about your grandmother. There's a story there with my grandmother that I didn't talk about later on. Sorry, that stuck with me when you talked about it. I actually, in high school, like senior year in high school, I started working as a receptionist for an advertising agency.
Oh,
and it's just a way my parents come from something that they were never making enough money. So since I was 12 years old, I've been working from like the flea markets in Miami Beach, Florida to today in entertainment. Like I've been working since I was 12. And I started working for this advertising agency and I went from receptionist to account executive to accounting in like a year. So I learned the whole ad business and I was like, this is amazing. There was creativity. You worked with people all the time. You were connecting the dots. And what started making me really passionate was the social cause marketing that goes into it, and kind of seeing this world and the way that a marketing message and making sure it gets to the right people at the right time and how much of an impact that can make when it's the right cause, like you guys are doing at Onyx. So the passion of, there's this cool thing that Beyonce did at the Super Bowl. I forget who she performed with.
Bruno Mars?
Yes. And the entire crowd, they give him a sign, and it was like, love is beautiful or something. And the whole stadium turned rainbow colored.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, be who you are. I love who you are. And it was like that moment, like, I felt goosebumps head to toe. So it's those moments where you feel that people that have a voice and like go and stand and believe for something. That's why I'm passionate about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that from that first kind of job that in high school that exposed me to advertising and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to orientation at the University of Florida, first generation college graduate. So
that's
huge
amazing.
Deal for my family.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm like, one of the things I'm super passionate about is giving back to younger, especially Latina women, but younger women that are kind of the next generation of marketers. So I'm on the board of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications, and I go back twice a year. I do a ton of work with the students. Actually, Victoria on our team comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing all of this work, I always go back to the roots and I think about it. But when I went to orientation at college, I get there and they're like, what do you want to major in? And I swear to God, it was like advertising. Like I didn't even think about it. I saw all the colleges and I was like, that college advertising. Oh wait, minor in dance. And so I was really passionate about dance. And all these other students and colleagues of mine, they were like, I don't know. And they kind of figured it out in a year or two. But I had that experience in high school where somebody like hired me as a receptionist. And then they're like, you can't be a receptionist. We need you back here. And then, you know, this woman took me under her wing and taught me the ropes. And then I'm horrible at math, so I don't know what the accounting thing was about. But they're still alive today, so I guess I didn't do a horrible job. But kind of like experience in high school, being passionate and seeing the right messages that made change happen,
right,
and impacted people's lives. And that's why I do what I do today.
We also know how passionate you are about women and women inspiring and empowering women. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? It's like a little funny because you work with us. So I want to say, why do you work with millennial women? But why are you so passionate in working with millennial women and everything that we do and strive to be for the community of millennial?
For whatever reason, and I don't understand it, and it's because I'm in it, right? I'm in the bubble.
Right.
But I don't understand why we get such a bad rep. And the more and more that we talk to different women and we're understanding the challenges that they're facing in different parts of the world, I really think it stems from communication in the sense that our prior generations don't understand us because we're not a 9-to-5 and like we are 24/7, roll up the sleeves and go after what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those prior generations to us, they like worked at the same company for 35 plus years and we want to go lateral and learn different skill sets and connect the dots and try this and try that and take risks and take a leap of faith and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think they confuse that for being lazy.
Right.
Or whatever verb that they think of us. And I think what we're doing is amazing because we're getting to highlight and show the vulnerable side of our generation and the challenges that we're working on, but also like celebrating their failures and thriving about it. And I didn't grow up with resources that I can today say like, oh, I got that because of my childhood. I had to claw, fight, scream, beg to get to where I am today because I didn't have that. When I applied to the University of Florida, that admissions office received a call from me once a week. They're doing a cool campaign right now to raise $3 billion for first-generation college grads.
Wow.
And they picked 10 of us, and we're the face of the campaign.
Oh,
and they're
amazing.
Showing all of the donors, which I'm getting to meet my donor this fall. Wow. For the first time, because it's blind. I don't know who paid for my education, so I'm meeting them for the first time. But I wrote them this whole letter. I was like bawling, crying when I wrote it. But we're the face of the campaign, and they're showing them, hey, look, you invested into their education, you know, 6 to 8 years ago, and look at who they are today. You guys, the group of people is astounding. But for me, it's more like I didn't have the resources, and I know I went a long way, but I think you need to understand that for me to say this one statement. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have the resources, I want everyone else in the world to have them.
Right.
Like every inch of knowledge that I have or anybody in my network that has, however I can bring that together and feed it to our community. That is why I'm so passionate about it.
Well, that's true. I mean, that you're a very giving person. I mean, that is like from the get-go when I met you, I was just like, this girl gives you her all. Like she doesn't think twice about it. And I think that within women, at least it's unfortunate for me because I grew up not having that support from women. So women was always like, what can they get out of me? Or what's the exchange here for our friendship? Not necessarily this, like, how can I champion you and how can you champion me and see whatever we need? So like when I met Diana, I was like, this is new to me. I was like, what do you want? Like I was just like, what do you want for me? Cause it was strange.
Love.
So, right. And I love that because that's how it should be. And that's what we're trying to build in this company. I actually would like to talk to you a little bit about that. And what can you say to other women that are just like maybe kind of still feeling reserved or unsafe of saying, well, if I give her everything, she'll just take it from me and run and that would be it. Because you give so much, not just connections, but advice, but everything. You give your all to other people. You really do. What advice could you give to people who are maybe being more reserved when it comes to that?
We live in a world where it's hard to trust people, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
This country's crazy. Everything's crazy right now. There's volcanoes. There's just everything's happening, and it's like eruption.
Yes.
So I get the hesitancy, and I get that some. I think it stems to commitment. Mm-hmm. So it's where are your passion points? Mm-hmm. You were passionate about moving out west and being more creative and all that.
Yeah.
I think that if people find what that is at an earlier stage in their lives, then they're able to like, they need to go find somebody that mentors them to then help them get the right connections so that they get the exposure and they get the opportunities to be able to say, oh my God, that made me feel X or... Mm-hmm. And I think this world would be a lot more positive if everybody did what they love. And yeah. I think, unfortunately, some people just kind of do it for the money and kind of bow out. I do everything that I do because I'm passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, YOLO all the way. And, you know, I think you need to be present and live your life every day. Like if it's your last, because if you don't, then it's like, then what's it all for? Mm-hmm. I just recently got a puppy and he's the love of my life. So I come home and, you know, last night I got home at midnight after we were meeting, doing stuff for this week. And he was so excited to see me. And it's like that moment where you're like, I do this all for you, like for him, my fiance and my family. And you feel like you get to celebrate those wins with one another. So I think it's be committed, find your passion, and find the people you want to celebrate that with.
Mm-hmm. We're talking a lot about passions and leading a life filled with passions. And we believe that wholeheartedly, how important that is, because it does lead to happiness. It does lead to this self-fulfillingness within ourselves and leading our best life.
Yes.
Ultimately. So enough about the positive. Let's get into the realness of leading passionate lives and following that. What are some of the biggest failures, Shaya, that you have faced in this, in creating in your journey?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great question. Immediately, I think about the times where I was quote-unquote broke. When I first moved out to L.A. In April 2014, I didn't bring my car either. So I was taking public transportation. So I didn't have my car from April until, I think, October. That was so humbling. It's just, I didn't always have a car in D.C. My car was in Houston, but D.C. has great transit. Like, right. You have to worry about it. Here, it's not as great. So it's like, you have to find the right bus, the right train line.
It's more challenging.
From the valley to mid-city. It was just
crazy.
My commute was like 2 hours. But that was the commitment that I made to myself, because I wanted to be here. I wanted to be in L.A. I wanted this job to work. I wanted to be here. I wanted to be immersed into the tech industry. I wanted to learn as much as I could. So that was one of the sacrifices I made. One of the biggest failures, I would say, is when you have a startup, you do a lot of trial and error, right? So you're trying all types of things. You're like, I'm going to put this on a Facebook ad. I'm going to throw this thing on social and see what happens. I do social media for Onyx, and I've tried so much stuff on our social media. Sometimes it just fails miserably. Like, people just don't care. Like, I'll post this thing that I think is cool. I'll ask about a topic, like, hey guys, what do you feel about this lip shade? And we get like 2 likes. So I'm like, great. So, you know, watching that number grow is definitely, you know, motivating. But back in the day when we didn't have that many followers and our audience was extremely low, it was just like really, it felt like a failure just to kind of like see no type of growth, I guess. I think
at what number did it start when you started, out of curiosity?
I started, I think we had like, I want to say 5K.
And you grew it to 70?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's really, and that's, it goes into what I was going to say about trusting the process.
Right.
It can drive you to just like have a lot of self-doubt, and then I started journaling, and I'm just like, I deserve this. I deserve to be great. I am great. I'm
affirmations.
Affirmations. Yeah. I am beautiful. Just like little things like that. Things that weren't even really correlated with my career. Just reminding myself I was beautiful. Reminding myself I was talented and that I deserve this. And so through those type of affirmations and just reminding myself of that on a daily basis, not like every other week, or on a daily basis, waking up with a new intention. Like, today I'm going to conquer Facebook. Today I'm going to conquer Instagram. Today I'm going to conquer MailChimp. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
You just go into it knowing that you're going to conquer it, really outweighs all of those failures. So
that's amazing.
Ooh, I love that.
Dee, talk to us a little bit about what has been your biggest failure in this journey of yours?
There's been two that were really, really hard blows, and I felt the weakest I've ever felt in my whole life. But I had the best support system through it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a happy ending for sure. But I moved to LA straight after school. And then I got, and I was here for like a year and a half working in analytics and digital. And then I got relocated to New York by this like amazing mentor of mine, Mauricio Saboga, changed my life. I went to go lead global business and marketing for a new agency within a big agency, IPG. And he changed my life. And then I had all this responsibility. People would come in to his office to meet with him. And they're like, oh, do you know Diana? And they're like, oh, no. You can't meet with me, so you meet with her. Like, it was just a whole different level of respect and exposure and experience that he got me. And till this day, he is such an amazing advocate of mine. So he left that company because he got another opportunity. The things that stop when that happens, when your mentor and boss and sponsor leave, they have a 1-year contract clause that they cannot take anybody with them from that current company.
Oh, wow.
So I moved to New York to work for him. And then I was there for a few years, and then he left. And then I was like, okay, all right, I guess I gotta try something new. And then I started interviewing at a couple companies, and then I went startup. I was like, okay, I've done corporate, let me go do startup. They fired me in 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think I've ever told anyone that in this public of a setting, but and I think you learn the most through those failures. But I was like director of new business at 26, and I was like, I'm on top of the world. And I wasn't being set up to succeed. They kind of expected me to just come in with all this experience and knowledge that they had said they were going to kind of coach me through and all this stuff. And I'm like reviewing my bio and headshot for the website. And then I just get this isn't working out.
Wow.
You're fired. It's like 8 cards hit me.
Oh, yeah.
Because my hashtag is career focused.
Right.
Who am I without my career? I didn't feel like I had another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk out of the building. I order an Uber. Mm-hmm. I call my fiance, bawling. He couldn't understand a word I was saying. And he was freaking out.
Of course.
And I was like, I just got fired.
And he's like, you just started a new job. And I was like, I know, I just got back.
And I went home and cried for 72 hours.
Wow.
Like, nonstop. Like, would sleep an hour, wake up, and bawl and crying.
Did you feel like it was... What did you feel? Like, why were you crying? Because you felt like it was... You weren't enough? You weren't good enough as you had thought you were? Or, like, what was going through your mind?
I wasn't supported. And I wasn't used to that because I went from this leader that, like...
Right.
You can't get to me until you go to her and... bring you on this project, and when I do something wrong, he made sure I was wrong, and then I worked my ass off to fix it. Like,
right.
You had someone pushing you, and in that company, I didn't. It was very
big.
Yeah, and like everyone just communicated through Slack. It wasn't like an actual like conversation with people, and it was just completely different than what I thought. And I rushed into it because I had like 2 interviews and accepted. I was just itching for the next thing. So I think I also learned that I now with companies. Vetting to the max. I need to meet everybody. I need to shadow for a day. Like,
right.
I interview them 8,000% more than they interview me, because then I think that's how you know if you're going to be in the right culture, in the right environment, in the right supportive system.
Right.
It's so important.
So then Jason, that day, he comes home from work. I didn't have a laptop. I had to turn in my laptop. And he comes home from work with a Best Buy bag. And he's like, I bought you a laptop. Go chase your dream. The gesture of the laptop, right? Like, here, I believe in you. Go do your thing. My mom was babysitting her friend's son and had to fly to New York, which my mom, to travel to New York, like, that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, she was there for that moment and helped me emotionally through that. And in 3 weeks, I got a job. So, I was fine. But that process, I would wake up at 7 a.m., cry, run through Central Park, and work out for 3 hours every day. Because that's what I needed to do to get out of depression. Ton of meetings, tons of calls, tons of informational interviews. I went back to my old job. I called my mentors, and they were like, well, that job's not available anymore. Like, you said no to that one. And so I got a lot of doors shut, but then, like, 18 opened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was final rounds at LinkedIn, Google, MediaLink, like, and then I was like, I bring value.
Right.
Back to your affirmations, I felt that I forgot for a second.
Right.
And then Jason's like, you're Diana Falcon. Get up and go find what you want to go do. And you'll get a new job soon. Till then, I'll take care of everything. In 3 weeks, I got an offer, started. So it's like a 5-week process. Usually it takes people a really long time when that happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for me, that was a very long 3 weeks.
Yeah. Wow.
Very, very, very long. And then most recently, I was up for a really big job at my day job.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Another woman got it.
Okay.
That's powerful.
Powerful for you to even say that.
Yeah.
Another woman got it. So I'm like, go sis. You know, like, just like...
And it just wasn't my time, and she had more experience, and I learned a lot, because at one point my fiance was like, are you more in love with the job or me? And I was like, okay, I need to fix that.
Yes.
And I learned patience from that one.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I learned, interview the other company 8,000% more than they're interviewing you to make sure you're going to be set up to succeed and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, I learned patience.
It's so important. I think that I can relate to the patience thing, because I feel like, geez, and it's true with social media and just like the internet and everything, you just think everybody's flying by, everybody's living their best life. And I'm like, what is happening to mine?
Yeah.
And you can't help but compare yourself, which is a terrible thing to do. But that's something I definitely have learned within the last 3 years, is patience is everything. And you're always going to end up where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always going to be great. But you have to pay attention to yourself, to your calling, to your intuition.
Yes.
Actually, we were talking about with Christy today about that, and about enjoying the process and really being obedient to your calling. Okay, so what is your biggest triumph? And any of you guys can jump in first.
My biggest triumph, I would say being invited to be co-founder. That was just felt like, yes, I did it. And it felt good to kind of come back home and like tell my parents that, because they were very like, worried about me going out. You talk about your parents being worried about you, and that reminded me of them just being really scared. They knew that I was valuable, they knew that I was talented, they knew the daughter they had raised. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they were just like LA's a big city. Granted, I went to school in DC, but still, it's just like, you're going out to LA, you don't really have like a full plan. They were familiar with the job that I booked, and they were kind of like, what is this? Like, you want to do this? And even I was kind of like, had to stick it, like, yep, it's gonna be great. It was just a very, really rewarding feeling to be invited to be a co-founder. And it was also coupled with different opportunities that we were afforded being a part of the company, and people just really recognizing what we were doing, and knowing that I had contributed to that, to the growth of the company. So that was really, that felt really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'm going to phrase this, because I don't want to sound weird about it, but like, for example, like, you got the position of co-founder and you accepted it, but how did you know that you were like, I can do this? Did you ever doubt yourself at any point? Or like, did you know that, like, no, this is the right fit for me?
That's a great question. I think if they had invited me prior to, what was that, last fall, or even, let's say, within the first year I was there, I probably would have turned it down. I wouldn't have felt like I was capable of doing it. I wasn't really comfortable, right? I think it speaks to the age that I was. I was like around 25, 26 when I first started. So I just hadn't gotten that career confidence. The first job I had was the one that I had in Houston, the law firm. So that was my first career experience. I didn't feel empowered there. I didn't feel supported. I didn't have it wasn't an environment that bred like confidence. It was kind of like, you do this and it's just what you do, the end. Learned a lot, wouldn't regret it for anything, wouldn't take anything back from that experience. So for the woman who's listening right now, like, I'm in this job right now, it sucks. You know, move on, but take what you can from that job. What did you learn from that? How did you grow? How did it show you who you were? Because I learned how I receive things and how I give off things to people and how people receive me as an individual from that job. So I learned a lot. But I would say, had I been offered the position sooner, I probably wouldn't have taken it, because I didn't feel confident in myself. Mm.
So you would say self-awareness.
Yes.
You give off this very self-aware, and I think that that's so important.
Yes.
Being self-aware is probably one of your best assets, because it can set you up for success, and then it can also set you up for failure, because it's not... Sometimes I feel that people are afraid of admitting something that's like, hey, I'm not ready for this right now. Like, people are afraid, am I diminishing myself? Am I not shooting for the stars, how everyone says? And so am I self-limiting myself? Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important. I think it's very powerful that you're saying that you didn't feel ready. Mm-hmm. And that was because you were self-aware of your capabilities at that moment. But you always had in the back of your mind, you knew who you want to be,
absolutely,
who you really are. And I really think that's so powerful, and for the womanhood to really know that, you know, self-awareness is so key.
So key.
It's so key. That's really great.
I think I've always been like a self-confident person, and I've always been, my parents really instilled things in me to make me aware of who I am and how important I am and how talented I was. I keep saying talented because my parents are like, you're talented. Mm-hmm. You're talented. Like, we know a talented daughter. We have a talented daughter. I'm the only girl out of two boys, older boy, younger boy, my brothers. And we're really close, and we keep each other in check. And remind each other of who we are. Even in my roughest times in startup world, going back home and being reminded of who I am and where I come from and how strong my grandmother is or was. I have another grandmother. She's just as strong. So my family is just really strong. And like, we don't allow ourselves to get swayed by the world.
Right.
But it's so easy to. So turning down the position years before would have been me taking care of myself and knowing, like, this is not for you right now. Not every opportunity is the right opportunity. Ooh, right. And it might come back up again. And you're like, okay, it's right now. Now it's right. But before it would have been. So.
Ooh, love that. That's powerful. Diana, what has been your biggest triumph?
I haven't reached it yet. My biggest triumph is the day I retire my parents.
Oh my god, I just saw my parents the other day. I want to retire them. I literally was like, I'm gonna retire you guys. And they're like, ah! I'm like, no, really.
Yeah, at the age of 30 is my goal. So I have one more year to hit that goal. But, you know, even if it's like half retirement, I'll take it. But the day that I can fly to Miami and pay off my parents' house, that's going to be mega. It's going to be everything because my parents came from nothing and make nothing and raised me with so much love and support. And any, I was like, I'm going abroad to Barcelona. They're like, you're going where? I'm moving to Los Angeles with $300. What?
Right.
I'm going to New York after I just bought a queen bedroom set with my own money. Okay. Like, everything. We have this chant of si se puede in my family. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you can. And whenever any of us are going through anything, kind of group chat and text, like, si se puede, we're going to get through this together as a family. And
right.
The day that my parents can be full-time grandparents, that's my triumph.
It's beautiful.
I kind of want to switch to another topic. So it kind of sort of amazes me. And I know I've talked about this a little bit in the podcast in New York, but it really amazes me how some people still do not validate online businesses. Some people even would say, how do you even make money on the internet? You know, I mean, it's really, and it's shocking because we, all of us here, know how online business is really like the business model. It's not even a new business model anymore. It's the business model in many ways. So I kind of want to know your thoughts on both, you know, you work with Millennial Women, which is an online digital company, as well as We Are Onyx, and kind of how has that been, this online business world?
Explaining that to anyone can be difficult, but yes, it was hard. It's a little more, a little less complicated, I should say, for us because we do have a physical product. The Onyx Box is something that you subscribe to and that you get physically. So that kind of helps. But explaining the surge of subscription boxes and what that exactly means is hard. It's still hard even. So I have to kind of explain it as like a magazine, but it's not. It's a box that has stuff in it that you subscribe to every month. And so people kind of like, what? But yeah, so it's just so, can be challenging.
Yeah.
I think our generation gets it a little bit more because we do everything online. But for older generations, it is a little difficult to explain and kind of validate. Yeah, you feel like, I could see how it could make you feel uncomfortable or like that you're not doing anything because they kind of tear it down, right? They're like, well,
yeah,
it's online. What are you talking about? But I think that it's up to us, our generation, to kind of drive that narrative that, you know, this is something legit. This is Amazon. Like, you see the Amazons and you see the Googles and you see the success of an online business, a startup, and that's kind of a good pinpoint for people to kind of understand what exactly you're working on and working towards.
But is there like a balance? Like, you try to explain and really, you don't really necessarily need the approval for them to continue on with your...
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I can see how it's easy to fall into that trap of like trying to validate it, but no, I don't need that approval. It's just kind of like, this is what it is.
Yeah. No, I think it's brilliant what you all are doing.
Thank you.
It's really, really great and so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in America, multicultural.
Yes.
You know, we're all very diverse in every city now. It's pretty... America's is diverse. That's who we are. I just, it's so timely what your company is doing too. And I think it's, sometimes I feel that, and I want Diana to pitch in on this too, this branding and marketing. They always tell you, okay, try to be universal, try to be global, but that's not necessarily correct, is it? I would love to know, like, your perspective on branding and marketing to niche or to a certain group that's not necessarily a small group, but just targeting a certain demographic and how you go about that.
Yeah, I think what we're doing at Millennial Women Inc. is amazing in the sense that, and I love when Melissa says this, it's a big statement. We represent the Millennial Woman generation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of us out there, and we want to make sure that we're representing everyone correctly, which is why we spend so much time and effort in going city by city to understand the challenges that they're facing. So I think for us, instead of
hey, world, follow us. Mm-hmm. We want to have that one-to-one kind of narrative, like intimate settings like this, to meet up events with our thought leaders, to one-on-ones with women from prior generations and mentors that came before us, to be able to infuse our message, but in a localized manner that works for them. Because what a millennial woman is dealing with in Abu Dhabi and being able to just get a license, to what we millennial women are dealing with in LA, with everything from meeting people that are real and that can be a part of your sisterhood in a really authentic way instead of the LA way that unfortunately has a little bit of a bad thing, to, you know, starting your own company or being a stay-at-home mom or people having miscarriages. Like, it's everything in between. So I think you have to go local because everyone's in a different situation with what environment that they're in. So being able to go niche, I think, is a more powerful, because if we go broad, not everyone's dealing with the same challenge. So then it doesn't apply to them and then they're not interested. Whereas if you're going to a city and you're like, come rep your city, come, let's have a conversation, let's fix things together, and kind of that follow-up work, I think that is where we'll make the most impact. And then to answer your first question on the how to make money on the internet financial stuff, I love that we're building a lifestyle brand of I'm a millennial woman. Our generation is amazing. And we came into a place where the economy crashed. We had to figure it out. So we've disrupted everything. I think you said yesterday, we've gone into every industry, disrupted it, and brought innovation and brought technology and brought new ideas. And I think it's because we're passionate that we kind of dive in and go straight for it. Whereas the prior generations kind of like things as be and don't like change. Right. We thrive on change. Mm-hmm. So being able to create a merchandise line that helps us spread the message, where somebody could just be wearing an NW pin on their backpack and someone's like, hey, what's that? And it's like, I'm a part of the millennial womanhood. Do you know what that is? Exactly. And it starts that conversation. And then they reference something they learned in our podcast, like self-awareness or affirmations, or interview your person that you're going to work for more than they're interviewing you, or whatever nugget that they take that help apply it to their life as a consideration. Not that this is only advice to follow. It's different segments of it. But I think that that's powerful, because then you're getting to start a conversation in a way that you might not would have happened. Right. Because there's a statement on you, whether it's a shirt or a pin or a tote bag or a vinyl sticker, that helps people like have that, like, what's it called when you start a conversation? Is it like icebreaker?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it breaks that, kind of going back to the beginning of the conversation, it breaks that disconnectedness of not helping people support one another. And it's like, hey, what's that? I'm a millennial woman too. And it strikes that conversation. So that's what we're trying to do.
You have no idea how many women have come up to us and have said, like, oh, like, I'm ashamed to even say I'm a millennial. And not to talk about our brand, but just in general, like, what they sort of, like, have dealt with.
Right.
And so when they do see the brand, they're like, oh, it's kind of safe to be proud, because when we get to talk to women like you guys and the awesome women we've been talking to along this entire tour, they're like, oh, wow, like, I relate, I understand, we aren't the stereotypical millennials that people are saying. Yeah. And I think that that's what makes it so important and so timely. It's people like you. You know, this is what millennial women is. You know, it's a global company, and I'm gonna start crying, but but it's a powerful thing to do. It's a powerful thing to even have a lifestyle brand.
Yeah. No, it's and it goes aligned with Onyx as well. You know, it's about being proud. It's not about covering up or, you know, how do we change anybody's mind? It's not about that at all.
You're never going to change anybody's mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's never going
to
happen.
Right, but it's just sticking to, like, this is who we are. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're just focused on making ourselves better. And we're not focused on necessarily changing. If change comes, because it does come when you're doing the right things. Yeah. But we're not necessarily focused on changing the narrative. We're just doing us.
Yeah.
And I think that Onyx is definitely in line with that. And I
absolutely
think that's amazing.
just doing us is exactly, I've never put it quite like that, but it's exactly what it is. It's like, we're just doing us. Because I've had people ask me, like, you know, do you guys want to branch out to different demographics? I was like, no. Yeah. We're doing us. You know, there are other things.
We're being authentic, too. That's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, somebody said something to me years ago. Well, not years ago, but recently, especially when I created Hialeah. They were like, well, if you try to cater to everyone, you cater to no one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're not being authentic to yourself, and now you're just trying to, like, blend in and try to get everybody. And you're just not.
Check off the boxes.
And check off the boxes. Mm-hmm. You know, and
instead of focusing on what you're passionate about. And
yeah.
100%. You make no difference that way. You're just like trying to, you know, yeah, it just isn't very inauthentic. But I think that's a perfect segue to go into our final question.
I'm so sad. Like, I don't even want to end this podcast right now.
What gets you up in the morning? What is that intention then when you wake up? I'm like, this, you know, this is my intention for today. This is what gets me up in the morning. What motivates you? How do you go about your day?
I immediately think about, this is back in the day when we were really getting scrappy, when I was in charge of social media, customer service, logistics, all at one time. And every now and again, my logistics, my customer service coordinator will send things over to me. But it's customer feedback. We have women who will tell us, when I opened my box this month, I cried because I saw the imagery of the black women on the box, and that to me just spoke to me and made me feel beautiful. Simple. Sounds simple, right? But to know that something that you are doing is impacting someone to the level where they feel emotion, they feel, they cry. Because beauty is a very emotional thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you look in the mirror, you want to feel beautiful, you want to feel confident. And so to deliver that to someone's doorstep on a monthly basis and then actually feel compelled to, A, write you about it and, like, tell you, like, this is the impact that I have, that your company has on me, that drives me to wake up and go to work in the morning. Like, okay, what else can I do? What else can I present to the team that's going to drive not just impact, but that's going to encourage people to want to share their stories? I want to hear more stories about women waking up and feeling beautiful, because that is what our mission is, and that's what drives me.
I start every day waking up, kissing the love of my life. My puppy giving me kisses. And then I work out. I focus on my health and me and mind space of just, like, I start the day with me and showing myself love before I show love to everyone else in my life. And it's, I want to start the day with me. Mm-hmm. There's some emails and stuff, like, right before that, but predominantly that's, like, the first thing I do every day. But what gets me to, like, put on workout clothes and go work out and just kind of start my day is my family. I do everything that I do for them. Jason, Oliver, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my extended family, the madrinas, the padrinos, the aunts, the uncles. Like, it's to make them proud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's to show my parents that them coming from Cuba when they were 25 years old and I was 2 months old, mm-hmm. to give me a better life and leave everything they knew, because they knew I wouldn't have a future in Cuba. Mm-hmm. How selfless is that? They didn't even know me. 2 months old. Like, they didn't know if I was going to be, like, a dropout and that person. And they instilled love and support in me. And honestly, like, just being there for my family And it's not just blood family. Like, you guys have become my family, like, right. Friends and sorority sisters and everyone in my wedding party. I love you all. Like, all the things. It's just the connection you have with people, that I have with my tribe and my group and my family, is, like, unlike other, because I love that support of back and forth. And no matter what anybody that is in my life is in, I come in with the lifeguard suit and I'm like, I'm in it with you from the beginning to the end. And I really, I don't see it as a challenge. I like to help people through their problems. I like to help people feel empowered, especially young people, to kind of help them feel. I've had multiple girls that I've been mentoring lately that they're like, oh, should I just stay in Miami? And I'm like, what's your dream? I want to be in New York. Okay, so let's put all of our effort and everything into you being in New York. Or in Atlanta, or in here, or in there. And they live there now. And it's like, being able to impact somebody else's life and then getting my family to support me in doing that, but also teaching me stuff along the way, like, that whole sphere of it, mm-hmm. that's what motivates me to get up.
Gets you up in the morning.
I love that.
It's so beautiful. Ladies, it's hard to turn this off because I feel like we're all girlfriends here. We want to definitely continue the conversation, which we will, but thank you, Shia and Diana, for being with us today in the beautiful offices of WeWork in Culver City in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, ladies. Thank you very much.
To find out more information about our Los Angeles contributors, you can follow them at Shine Shia and at Diana underscore Falcone underscore on Instagram. Let's stay connected. Follow us at We Are Millennial Women on Instagram and Facebook to follow our journey as we hear the voices of the women of our generation and uncover the challenges we face as well as how we choose to overcome them. We hope you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to continue on with the conversation. Always remember to keep being the strong, amazing woman that you are and never forget to live inspired. Until next time, MW, always love, Melissa and Stephanie Carcace.